Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
It's Paul Hamilton.
That's what they called me in college, was the bone.
He has the facts to back up his opinions.
People ask me, well, how are the Sabres going to win tonight? I don't have a clue.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
All right, let's go. Fade up. I want to hear it. I want to hear it. I want to hear the ice, the pucks hitting the boards, Lindy yelling in the background. That one's new. Paul Hamilton now on the Wester Hotline, live from practice. Hockey is back. Good morning, Paul. How's it feel? How's it feel to be back in the arena?
Good morning. It feels great. I just love it. They actually got it going a little bit early, maybe about 5 minutes early. Lindy Ruff blew the whistle, and they went. I'm just searching down there. I saw Dahlin. He was one of the first guys on the ice. I do not see him now.
Okay.
So I don't think he's out there right now, because I was taking down lines and noticed some of the defensemen were doubling off.
Uh-huh.
And I just, unless I'm missing him, I'll keep looking as we're talking, but I don't see him. As far as lines, it might be what you expect. Benson, Cousins, Quinn, Greenway, Krebs, Zucker, mm-hmm. Paterka, Thompson, Tuck, Abe, Cabell, McLeod and Lafferty.
Okay.
So they'll work in with Malenstein and Kulik, is that who is out here with the first group. But as I said, I just do not. As far as pairs, I saw Samuelson with Clifton, Byram with Joki Haru.
Okay.
Bryson with Gilbert, and then Power with just working in with guys.
Okay. Maybe because Dahlin is not. Paul coming right in with, guys, Dahlin left. Now, you didn't see like a, there wasn't like a collision or
no,
something.
No, because I was actually working a little bit on the, we have to get a Kevin Adams article together, and I was working on that. Dahlin was actually the first regular player on the ice. The goaltenders were first.
Okay.
And he's not out there now. I don't see him.
How about what else is going? The Jumbotron, Paul? Is it as big as it's been hyped up to be? Does it look huge?
Oh, yeah. It's huge. Basically, blue line to blue line.
Okay.
They just have the Sabre emblem on it now. But, so that's all we're looking at. But
what about Lindy out there on the ice? Is it surreal just to see him back out there? Is he? I feel like I can hear him in the background a little bit. Not enough to actually know what he's saying.
But. Yeah, no, you don't hear what he's saying. But, yeah, definitely it's surreal to see him back out there in his Buffalo Sabres sweatsuit. And, mm-hmm. yeah, it's it definitely takes me back.
Yeah. So we just heard from Kevin Adams, Paul, in about an hour ago. And from what he said, let's dive into a couple of the takeaways. One, let's start with kind of the easy one. He said they'll name a captain. He wouldn't say who, but, I mean, everyone kind of knows what's coming here, right?
I would think, but Lindy does want to get to know these guys in practice and that type of thing. And if he's thinking Dahlin, that won't hedge him at all, because nobody on this team practices harder and with more determination than Dahlin does. And he gets mad at practice. I wish some of the other players would be more like him. If he wants to get to know players in practice and he's thinking Dahlin, it won't hurt. That won't hurt Dahlin's chances at all.
Sure. other Adam's also like kind of a preview here of camp and the preseason and the regular season. And I was trying to think, I was thinking of like what kind of battles there might be in the next week or two, what spots are kind of up for grabs. I wasn't thinking too much about this, but did you have any takeaway about the way he talked about goaltender behind Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen? And that's kind of maybe all up in the air the next couple of weeks to see how Reimer, Levi, and even Sandstrom perform.
Sandstrom's definitely Rochester. I think he would like Levi and Luukkonen to be the goaltenders, but if Lindy Ruff holds to form and Lukanen's on a pace to play 55, 60 games, you can't have Levi here. You can't. I mean, he's got to go play in Rochester if that's the way it starts breaking down. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he may start up here and, you know, they'll play it by ear and see how it goes. And, you know, if it starts getting to a point where you're not seeing much of Levi, then they might switch his out. He left the door open for three goaltenders. He didn't like it last year. Do what you got to do. If you got to wave Reimer, or somebody takes him, they take him. So what? Keeping three goaltenders here to me is, as Lindy puts it, is non-negotiable. I would not keep three goaltenders here under any circumstances.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. Just the roster construction. Although, how will this – this is a good thing to get into almost for just the mechanics of it, Paul. They're going to Europe. So what they take to Europe, is that going to be different? Like, would you expect they take three goalies? They'll take extra defensemen. They'll take, you know – I don't even know if there are rules about that. But – Are we not already kind of seeing, like, they've got two groups because they got to figure out pretty quickly here, like, who they're taking overseas?
Yeah, and I'm sure they'll take three goaltenders over there. They are allowed to take 27 players.
Okay.
Now, the roster is only 23, but and it sounds like they will take 27. So, and because if one of your goaltenders gets hurt, it's a long ways to get a third goaltender there. You know, so especially when you're playing a back-to-back game, and if one of them gets hurt in the first game, you're not getting your other goaltender there. So I think I can say with almost 100% certainty three goaltenders will go.
Who's the player, Paul, that you're kind of wondering about the most going into training camp?
Well, it'd be Kulik. I mean, he is the only guy that's joining what you would consider the first group. You know, the group that's probably going to make up the hockey team. Nobody else is out here where you would think it's iffy other than, you know, having three goaltenders. And quite honestly, for this practice, there's another one after this. You know, Reimer is not in this practice. It's Levi and Luukkonen. So that might tell you something right there, that that's the way they want to go, you know, and I think that's the way they probably will go to start the season. I think it would have to be, you know, Luukkonen's doing really, really well. And, you know, it's we're going to just keep riding them. And it would have to take that to maybe change their minds and how they'd like to do it.
Okay. Kulik, too, Paul, like, we have not talked since the Prospects Challenge wrapped up. Just kind of your takeaways from his performance and what maybe that could start here for him. Because if he's going to get an opportunity and even get taken over, I wondered that in the first place, Paul, if they would take him even just because, listen, like, if you're close – and we need extras anyway, like, I don't know, even just for the guy, you might not have another opportunity in your career to play in your home country or to go to your home country for the start of NHL season. So even just what it would mean to him to go over there, I wonder if he, you know, is going to be in a real competition here to start the season.
Yeah, I wonder if Rusick would be one of the 27 also if they decide to go with a couple extra forwards to take over there since that's his country also.
Yep.
But yeah, Kulik, he needed to dominate the Prospects Challenge, and he absolutely did that. I mean, he had 5 goals and 2 assists. I don't know what he officially got, but the official scoring is always wrong in these things. What I do is I go back and look at the goals and figure out the goals and the assists that way. And he had 5 goals and 2 assists, and it was dominant on the wall. You could tell he's worked on his strength. He's talked about it a couple of times. You could just see, you know, him harder on the puck, harder to get off the puck, back checking, the whole thing. I mean, I think Seth Appert has finally pounded into his head. You can't just stand in the circle and take one-timers. This is professional hockey, and there are players in this league that are just as can shoot just as hard and can skate just as well, and you need to, you know, be an all-around type of a hockey player, and it seems like message has been received. You could tell that in the tournament. He was definitely the best player in the tournament. He needed to be, and he was.
Yeah. So hearing Adams talk about, you know, kind of Lindy and in the offseason, Paul, last hour, now that they're on the ice, what kind of team do you kind of, just to reset on this, like, expect them to be this year? Like, they're certainly, I think, going to be harder to play against in their bottom six. So shouldn't I equate that to, like, it's going to be harder to score on them, and it's going to be, you know, a more well-balanced team than maybe we've seen in past seasons?
Well, they'll definitely be harder to play against with the moves they made, and they needed to do that. I mean, how long have I sat here and said to you and everybody else on the air for 3 years now, at least, this team isn't built right. They just aren't. And I think they addressed that portion of it. They needed to get harder to play against. They got those types of players and did that. And that helps. That helps Dahlin. He doesn't have to sit there and fight for himself. He knows he has backup. It helps Thompson. You know, you've seen Thompson drop the gloves a couple times. That's nice, and it's great to see him help defend a teammate, but do you want your 45-goal scorer risking breaking his hand by getting into a fight? I mean, and now they know they have backup, and I think teams might think twice before they start taking liberties with Dahlin or whatever, because they know it'll be addressed, where before they knew it wasn't going to be addressed and they could do whatever they wanted.
Paul Hamilton on the Western Hotline from practice. Let's get a quick call in because Mark's been hanging on patiently. What's up, Mark?
Hey, just a couple comments, guy. Number one, you said you're worried about Dylan Cousins. Okay, he had a tough year last year. I'm not worried about Dylan Cousins. He went to the Worlds and was almost the best player 2 years in a row. So end of question on Dylan Cousins. As for Lindy Ruff, he was not my first choice. But to be honest with you, the man's won almost 1,000 games in the NHL. He had me in tears listening to his press conference, the love he has for the Sabres. Lindy Ruff is the right coach for this team. As for Don Granato, he was a great teacher. But around the league, the Sabres were a joke to play against. Undisciplined, and he was not an NHL coach. And that guy that said goodbye to Zemdis Gergensen, I just want to say, I think you're wrong. Zemdis Gergensen played a lot of years here in Buffalo, played hard and tough, gave you his all. And let's go, Sabres. Let's have a great year.
All right. Thanks, Mark. I want to get on Cousins on that. I don't know if I said worried. I said wondering for sure, and that was more about his offensive game. And Adams did talk about Cousins too, Paul. And for you and what Adams said, like what's – I don't know if anything is on the line for Cousins this year, but they're counting on him to do a lot of things. And one of them, I think, certainly this year would be he's got to score more and produce more offense than he did last season.
Yeah, get back to – I don't know if he can score 31. I don't know if that was freakish, but he could be 25 to 30, I think. And he needs to improve defensively. He came back from the summer in the absolute best shape of his life. He worked extremely hard over the summer to get stronger and better. He did that. He put the work in. Now let's see how it translates into training camp and into games and those types of things. 2 years ago, when he led Team Canada and was the leading goal scorer in the tournament at the World Championships, he came back here and scored 31 goals. He did that again this year, you know, where he again led Team Canada and scoring. So let's see if that gives him the confidence coming back to his season this year where he can get back to where he needs to be.
Paul Hamilton on the Western Hotline. And Cousins, you said earlier, do you think you saw Benson playing with him, at least at the start of practice?
Yeah, Benson was. Benson was with Cousins. And that's when I've been talking about lines all summer. I think you and I have talked about it. That's basically who I anticipated. That's who I would have given the first chance to. Because you don't know. I mean, I kind of joke with Kevin Adams. I said, well, now that Benson's a grizzled veteran at 19, what do you expect from him in his second year? And, you know, he did get to double figures as an 18-year-old and a guy that wasn't expected to be able to play in his first season, you know, his first professional season in the NHL.
Yeah.
But he did. And he scored goals in every level that he's played in. So, you know, it doesn't surprise me, only had 10 or 11 goals this past year, but Let's see if there's a jump in his second year.
Yeah, and wasn't it amazing, Paul, that like he, in his first year, and even Adam said, like, top players like playing with him. He didn't really produce much offense until the end. Like, he actually, I think he had 7 points in his last 7 games to wrap up the season. He kind of stuck maybe more because of his responsibility as a player and maturity as a player than his offense. Like, usually, I tell you, an 18-year-old makes the NHL at that size even. How do they do it? I mean, you probably think they're dancing around and they're scoring goals or playing offensively. And Benson was okay on that front, but wasn't his value more as a two-way forward last season?
The thing that impressed me the most is he's a little guy, is the way he protects the puck. He can be on his hands and knees, and they still can't get the puck off him. And that's what amazes me about him is, you know, and it's something, it's obvious that he's worked on throughout his career. You know, he's obviously been one of the smaller guys in any league he's been in. And he's so good at protecting the puck, even when knocked down, gets right back up again. Knocked down, gets right back up again. And he's still got the puck. So that was the thing that really amazed me as I watched him last year.
Paul Hamilton on the Western Highlights. So let's kind of just set up the season here, Paul, and expectations for you and kind of what you think this team is capable of. I heard Elliot Friedman last week on his podcast say that, like, internally they know there's pressure on them. Not even really much to say, just, you know, of course you would. At this point in their trajectory, I don't even know if he meant management. Management, I think he did say, but the team too, like, this core, this is what, year 4 for them together? So they're still a young group, but is there any wavering on any front, Paul, like, from fans or from even the team themselves that, like, it's go time? Like, it's gotta happen at some point, and, like, this year, there's no better year than to start that right now.
I've heard Lindy Ruff say it numerous times. The time is now. There's no more of this. We're young. We're developing. Whatever. The time is now. And let's be honest. If this doesn't improve this year, Kevin Adams should be out of a job. I mean, this should be do or die for Kevin Adams. This is your fifth year, and if they're in the same spot, if they find themselves in the same spot, unless like 9 guys get injured, you know, unless it's something really crazy like that. But if this does not improve or only improves by a point or two, and it's still, you know, the effort wasn't there tonight in the locker room and all that baloney, Kevin Adams needs to be replaced.
If I asked you, like, health is maybe number one, because that has sunk them. It does sink a lot of teams, but it definitely sunk them at times.
Especially key guys.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no question in my mind that Jack Quinn can score 30 goals in his league if he plays a full schedule. With the type of shot, the way he plays, he's a smart player, might be one of their smartest forwards. He's got an elite shot. He knows where to be around the net to score goals. Just everything about it that, you know, he's a guy they need. They have to have him. It's the ifs I call it. What is Tage Thompson? Is he a 47-goal scorer? Is he a 29-goal scorer? I believe he's closer to a 47-goal scorer. I think the season that Alex Tuch had, I think, was an outlier. I don't expect Alex Tuch to be a 36-40-goal scorer. But he does so many other things on the ice. If he's scoring 25 to 30, I think that's just fine. I think that's maybe where he fits in. So I thought that one season for him was a bit of an outlier, whereas with Thompson – you know, Thompson basically was 29 goals because he didn't get 20 to 22 power play goals like he got the year before because other teams took him away. It's like, all right, we're not going to let Thompson beat us on the power play. And they were right to do that because the Sabres had no answers.
Yeah.
They would just keep trying to force the play to Thompson, get the puck intercepted, they'd lose it. And that's why the power play was different because there was no plan B. It was always plan A, and the other teams decided they're going to take plan A away, and they had no answers. So they have to work harder on their power play. If they just fix the power play, it might put them in the playoffs. That might be enough to get enough goals. If they're in the top 5 in the power play, like they were for most of the year 2 years ago, they were in the top 3 for a lot of the year 2 years ago. I think that's – and be better defensively, which Lindy Ruff has said numerous times that's non-negotiable. It'll be more structured defensively. If they do those things, I think they have a really good opportunity to make the playoffs.
I'm glad you mentioned power play, because I had that written down as something to get to that definitely needs to improve this season. All right,
they got to work harder on it. They don't work hard enough on it. They don't win enough one-on-one battles on the power play, and then the other team gets the puck and throws it down ice.
Yeah. Personnel, would you have a guess who they're going to count on
I
more?
I think it would be fairly similar, but they're going to have to work. You know, you're not going to have Skinner out there, who was on the power play was a turnover machine. I mean, he was maybe one of the main offenders. I would expect to see Thompson, Dahlin, Tuck, maybe Paterka, and Cousins. That's who I would expect to see on the power play, or Quinn.
I was going
to
say, I like Quinn for this idea, because his release is – Paterka's too, but I don't know.
You got to have somebody in the other circle, people's respect.
Right.
And Dahlin's got to shoot more. Dahlin, one of the reasons Dahlin, I don't think, is one of the best defensemen in the NHL is he's horrible on the power play. He just he gets frustrated, and then he tries to push things through that aren't there. And Dahlin should, you know, he was rated, I think the NHL, somebody did the best defenseman. He was ranked 11th. He's a very good defenseman, excellent defenseman. But he's better than 11th. He should be better than 11th. He should not – Quinn Hughes should not be better than Rasmus Dahlin, and he is. Rasmus Dahlin should be in the same breath as Quinn Hughes and Cale Makar and those guys, and he's not. And until he gets there, the Sabres need him to be there. That's why they drafted him. And he's a very, very good all-star defenseman. But to me, he's not good enough yet. He still needs to be better, and I think he can be better.
Speaking of Dahlin, let's wrap on this, Paul. Has he returned to the ice in this practice?
No, he has not.
Okay.
So we'll
all
see
right.
about that. Lindy will talk after this practice, so we'll see about that.
I mean, that's the last thing in the world I want to speculate on, but I'm already, like, having memories of – well, I guess it was different. When Eichel got hurt in a camp, that was, like, the right before the season, not, like, right when camp started, but still. You hope for the best here. That
all right, I just – I'm looking now. People are just getting on the fact that Dahlin there or not there, because I was starting to worry, am I missing him? Because I was the only one that tweeted out that he wasn't out there.
I was wondering that, too, because you mentioned it right at the top with us, and I was scrolling Twitter while you were talking, like, nobody's – in the last 5 minutes, though. Here we go. A bunch of it.
Yeah, it's just in the last 5 minutes, people have finally realized, so I'm not seeing things or not seeing things.
All right. We'll hope for the best on that front. Thank you, Paul.
Okay. Yep.
Paul Hamilton will have you covered from practice. Be sure to check out his tweets. Devin, one of his pictures, by the way, you could see on Paul's Twitter. Devin Levi's got the old school pads and like the all gold. Oh, they look so good. I'm so happy hockey's back. Although, like, the Sabres, man, we just can't have nice things. Camp starts here on Twitter. I don't think that the Tage thing's anything, but within 5 minutes of the first practice of the season, I've got Dahlin left and Krebs hit Thompson, who's laboring going to the bench. Thompson was. I guess Tage maybe is all right, though. No Dahlin. Just come on, man. Come on. Please be okay, Rasmus Dahlin. All right. That's it. We'll get some hockey on the other side. We're getting some calls on it. So you want to get in 803-0550 on the Sabres. And I don't know, one thing, I asked Paul this, one thing that has to go right this year for them to make the playoffs, something they can't live without. Maybe it's the power play. Maybe it's Tage. Maybe it's Cousins taking a step up. I got a James Cook thought that I've been waiting to get to all day too. I want to get to that on Cook and kind of his upside as a running back. Like just how good he is. How good is James Cook compared to his, you know, peers in the NFL? We'll get to both of those things when we come back. Jody Biasi here on WG.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Yeah.
You understand the first day there's a little bit of anxiety, adrenaline, whatever you want to call it, but I expect us to quickly grasp the system that Lindy's going to be putting in place, and we are treating today as not day one of training camp, basically as the season starting, and you'll see a little bit of a different camp because of going to Europe and because of the new coaching staff.
Kevin Adams on camp, Lindy, and what's ahead? The Sabres will be in Europe a week from tomorrow playing Red Bull Munich. Or is that a week from tonight? They don't show it on their schedule on ESPN. Maybe I shouldn't be using ESPN. If I use the Sabres official site, they'll probably list it. Google doesn't list it either because it's an exhibition. Although it's an all preseason exhibition. The Sabres will play Red Bull Munich coming up on next Friday. Sorry, so a week from Friday at 2:30 p.m. Eastern time, that game will be on MSG. And what I've called a must-win. A must-win. Right? Right, Josh? Am I okay? It's a must-win against Red Bull Munich. They can't lose that hockey game.
It's got to be. I mean, if you're taking taking your starters to Europe and you're playing
a European team
that you're rookie sensations came from.
Just, you know, with everything about this team right now, everything, the mood of everybody, what they are as an organization, a franchise in the last 13 years, you can't lose to a team not in the NHL because I won't be able to take Twitter. I'll have to delete Twitter.
If that happens, the hockey relegation talks will heat up of, like, bringing relegation to the NHL.
It's okay, because they're going to make the playoffs after losing to Red Bull Munich. Fred in D.C. has got a thought on the playoffs. What's up, Fred?
They've left themselves no margin for error. Everything has to work out perfectly. They've painted themselves into a corner. Their inability or unwillingness to address the top six or get that extra defenseman has left them in a really bad spot. So I'll listen. Thanks.
Yeah. Thanks, Fred. It's an interesting way to frame it because it's almost kind of the reverse of what I asked before the break. I asked, like, what has to happen? What has to happen for them to make the postseason? And Fred is almost bringing, like, what happens, what one thing happens that they miss? Because that probably is a longer list. If Tage Thompson does not return to being a 40-plus goal scorer, they miss the playoffs? If they don't stay healthy, obviously, if Lukanen regresses this year, they make the playoffs? If Dahlin's hurt right now, they make it? If Bo Byram is super inconsistent like he was at the end in Colorado, do they make it? If Benson doesn't take a step forward, do they make it? Like, there's maybe a longer list on that end of things.
Benson might be a little, he might have a little more runway. Just because his second year.
But he might be, he's being asked to maybe fill a top six role. And he's going to have more pressure on him to produce offensively than I think he did, at least at the beginning of last year. Where last year, what was he on the opening night lineup? Was he 10th in the lineup in terms of responsibility to provide offense? He was behind the whole top six. He was behind Mittelstadt. He would have been behind Olofsson at the start. Whereas, like, now he's walking in like, dude, you're sixth. I got five guys. You're counted on more than half the lineup to produce offense. So, and I think he'll answer the bell. Just, I think you might need him a little bit. Can you have a couple of things go wrong and still make it? You could. That's where Lindy comes in. That's where the style comes in. That's where Nate last hour mentioned, like, you got to get to overtime more often. You got to get more overtime points. Have more games where you get outplayed, that you still, you're right there because you fought it out and you got good goaltending and you blocked some shots and bam, you're in a game you didn't perform well, you're in overtime 1-1. That's a point. And those are points that they haven't had a lot of in recent years. Lindy and the Sabres taking part in practice right now. Paul's got lines up. Look at the lines. Cousins centering Quinn and Benson right now is the second line. Thompson, Tuck, and Paterka. Anyways, follow Paul along at PHAM1717 for all the updates from practice. Still no Dahlin. Dahlin has not returned to the ice. No one saw an injury from what I've seen on Twitter. He just kind of, you know, disappeared. He just kind of left after like a minute or two. So you only are left to speculate. We'll see what kind of update we get from the coach after practice, unless you have one.
Last year, though, I found the opening night lineup from last season. Zach Benson was on the right wing of Casey Mittelstadt, and on the left wing was Jordan Greenway.
Okay.
On the third line. Well, okay. The listed as the third line.
803-0550 is the phone number. The number one added player in fantasy this morning is Carson Steele, the running back from Kansas City, who, by the way, don't get confused about the Chiefs listing him as a fullback. He has really never played fullback. I looked at his college snaps this morning. Like, the guy's never really played fullback. I think they thought he could become a fullback in the NFL, but now they need him to play running back. Kansas City, undrafted guy at a UCLA. So this is a guy I maybe even talked about on the air in the preseason. Like, he was one of these preseason heroes. And now, I mean, he might be the Chiefs' starting running back. And we got into this a little bit earlier with Nate on how much the Chiefs have leaned into Pacheco is very reminiscent of what the Bills have done with James Cook. Both players lead their team in touches. That's not unnormal. That happens for running backs. But Pacheco, like, Cook being number two on the Bills in receiving yards, like, wouldn't be a giant surprise. Although, I don't even think he is right now. I think he's, like, third or fourth. Isaiah Pacheco being number two on the Chiefs, only to Rashee Rice, when it comes to targets and receptions, is a pretty big surprise, given that he's not really a pass-catching running back and never really has been. He's done, I guess, okay at that this year. But 34 carries in two games, and all of that, eight targets, seven receptions. Where does that rank right now, by the way, in the league? It's ninth. Ninth in the NFL in carries through two games, Pacheco. James Cook is tied for 14th. So, you know, there are some similarities there in terms of the workload. They're very different types of runners. Pacheco is violent. He is physical. Cook is smooth and patient and has an extra gear that Pacheco doesn't have. Cook is like a 4-4 guy, and Pacheco is more like a 4-6 guy. So, different players, maybe similar roles. And the Chiefs are going to have to really find out if they can live without Pacheco. And they're the Chiefs. They have Mahomes. They have Rice. I don't actually even know what else they have right now. Worthy has been more of a gadget player through two games, and Kelsey looks old. So we'll see who steps up there. But they've needed Pacheco, and now you've got an undrafted free agent behind him, and Samaje Perine, who's a veteran journeyman that got cut by Denver, couldn't make the Broncos a month ago. So I don't know. I don't know what they're going to look like. I think they'll probably be fine. But it does go to wonder, like, how would the Bills be in a similar situation. Because Cook, I think Cook is, I even want to say great. You know? Like, he was pretty good as a prospect. He was a late second round pick. But he just wasn't really, he didn't have a lot of workload at Georgia, which I always took as a good thing. Right? I want running backs that don't have a big workload in college. Because to me, I can get more out of them. They're fresher, you know, miles on the tires. Running backs can only take so many miles on the tires unless your name's Derrick Henry. So I thought it was a positive that Cook didn't have a big workload in college. But it also meant we didn't really have a big sample size of what he can do well, what he can do great. And the more I watch him, there is a player that he reminds me of that I don't know that I've heard anybody else compare him to. Let's try this as a comparison on for size. Because this is me making an argument that I think Cook is better than just pretty good. That he might be one of the better running backs, maybe one of the best running backs in the AFC. Because he's fast. He's not the fastest, though.
We have an update on Dalen. He will not return to practice.
Dalen will not return to practice.
From Paul. Okay. Lindy Ruff will have more on it later.
Okay. So Cook, he is not the fastest. He is not the strongest when it comes to breaking tackles. He also isn't even the best receiver. That was how he was sold to us when the Bills drafted him. But it is not something that he's been elite at. He's had big drop problems. And, you know, 44 catches last year, 21 the year before that. That's fine. It's pretty good. There are guys that come way above that. McCaffrey's of the world, and Breece Hall will go way above that, and Eckler over time has been a guy that goes way above that. So it's pretty good. What is he great at? The more I watch him, Miami, this was on display. This guy, when it comes to vision, patience, and knowing when to hit a hole, there were a couple plays against Miami where I thought, that is Le'Veon Bell stuff right there. Le'Veon Bell was a very unique type of running back. He was bigger than Cook. I don't know if I want to say faster. Like, his measurables were great, but or were pretty good. But he wasn't, again, same thing, not the fastest guy in the world. He was a little bit bigger. But Bell's forte, his number one thing, was he was going to wait. Hole opens up, shoot it. He just knew how to do that at an elite level. And I don't think Cook's as good at it as Bell is. But I see these signs of Cook when this happened in the 49-yard touchdown. That play. You know why on that play his expected chance of scoring a touchdown on that play was 0.6? Do you want to know why expected yardage on that play was 3 yards? Because watch the playback. David Long gets lost trying to figure out which hole Cook is going to take. There are two paths Cook can take. And he does this little patient dance where he kind of hides behind a guy and he makes David Long think that he's coming through the right. And by the time Long figures out that Cook is already through the left gap, it's over. Long stumbles and just he's out of the play. And now Cook's off to the races. And it's that level of let me just abuse these linebackers that think they're going to meet me in these open holes. Come again. That is the one thing that I wonder if Cook can really turn into one of the top running backs in the league with that trait. Because I don't know how many other traits physically he has that are McCaffrey-esque or Barkley-esque or, you know, Breece Hall-esque, Jonathan Taylor. Like, he's physically not as gifted as those players. But with the ball-carrying IQ, if I could call it that, I wonder if that's the thing Cook really has. As Josh mentioned there, the update from Sabre practice is that Rasmus Dahlin will not return to practice. Day one, 5 minutes in, he leaves the session, and he will not be returning. Nothing about an injury, but I think it's an assumption, right, that he got injured. All right, Sabre season off and running. Come on, man. It's like, again, I can't believe this team sometimes. It's not their fault. It's just... Man, Sabre fans have been through the ringer. All right, timeout. Maybe we'll have a further update on Darlene when we come back. Stay tuned. Extendo Sports, then we'll get you off to the Extra Point Show here on WGR.
Breaking sports news airs first here. Guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550, 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
All right, the news of the morning is the Sabres got to training camp, got on the ice for their first practice, and within like 2 minutes, Rasmus Dahlin left, and they've announced that he is not returning. You can get all the updates from Paul. Check him out on Twitter. Also, stay tuned. Extra Point Show will have him as well. What else? Hockey training camps starting all around the league. The Leafs. Sale. There was a Leafs sale today. Rogers bought 37% of the Leafs from Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment, which was the principal owner. Rogers already owned 38%. So now Rogers owns 75%, which means they're now the controlling owner of the Toronto Maple Leafs. The reason you should maybe care about that is now there's a different group that is deciding who the general manager is, who the coach is, should we pay Mitch Marner? Marner, that's the one in the league now. Crosby's got his contract. Dreisaitl has his contract. The guy to watch in the league for trade speculation or for is he going to leave after the year, is Mitch Marner is arriving at Maple Leafs camp without an extension. He has 1 year left in his deal, and he has been the guy they've scapegoated since the playoffs last year. All right, what else? Thursday Night Football tomorrow. Be excited to talk some Patriots and Jets. Man, the Jets vibes could tank tomorrow night, and I think they could. I don't think they're going to score many points on that Patriots defense. The way the Jets look, like, I think I want to be on the Patriots for that game with the spread. Whatever it ends up being, we'll find out tomorrow. All right, more updates on the Sabres if we have any. And more of your calls at 803-0550 with Zach and Josh. Stay tuned. The Extra Point Show is on the way next here on WGR.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.